The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went that star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Each year, the Sunday after Christmas, like last Sunday, we have a service of lessons and carols. We do it in part because it's a way for us to have a service and proclaim the good news of what God has done in Jesus, without having a sermon. And that makes it easier for me and a lot of other pastors to take vacation that week after a long Advent and a Christmas season. And so many, 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 many churches have a lessons and carol service, which is on the Sunday, we call it the second Sunday of the season of Christmas. But we also do it because, with few exceptions, we sing Advent hymns during Advent, and we save those Christmas hymns until Christmas Eve, and we pack as many as we can into that Christmas candlelight service. And then we get one more Sunday of the season of Christmas, and then it's Epiphany. And so we, on that one more Sunday, we read those scriptures of the prophecies and the promise and the birth, and we sing those hymns of the Christmas story. And then we pretty much put them away for 50 weeks. So there's a lot of reasons that we probably have a lessons and carols service on that Sunday. But one thing that means is we never read the assigned text for the second Sunday of Christmas. And the assigned text is actually part of the reason that I believe that lots of congregations do a lessons and carols service on that Sunday. Because the assigned text for the second Sunday of the season of Christmas is about Herod getting really mad and ordering the execution of a bunch of toddlers and infants. But today I want to read you that story. It comes as the continuation of the assigned text for today that I just read, the section where the Magi come and they come to see Jesus. And this part explains a lot. So I'm going to back up a couple of sentences to where I just finished, and I'm going to read you this, the rest of chapter 2 of Matthew's gospel. "Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. And this was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men that this Messiah had been born. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph, who was in Egypt, and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruler over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned again in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled: "He will be called a Nazarene." It's about as awful as it gets. This story is as terrible as stories get. A power-hungry king who's afraid of a baby who might grow up to dethrone him. And he fails at killing the baby, in part because the astrologers, these magi that told him about the possibility of this baby king, they tricked him, and I guess they were treasonous. So he's threatened. Maybe he's embarrassed. Maybe because the magi didn't obey him. And to fix the problem, he has every child in the region slaughtered, just in case. And Matthew tells us that the slaughtering of innocents is not new. Kings have been tyrannous, innocents have been slaughtered, the mothers, the Rachels of the world, have wailed inconsolable. And our current news cycle tells us that the Rachels of the world are still wailing. They are still inconsolable. Every generation, we know this, look in a history book or click on the computer, every generation has at least one genocide. In our lifetimes, we can list Nazi Germany and Rwanda and Myanmar and Syria. We actually know what it sounded like in and around Bethlehem when Herod had those children killed, because we, at the press of a button, can see live footage of mothers wailing in Syria today. Jesus' parents grabbed him in the dead of night and fled to Egypt to save his life. And we know how that goes, because Wilma was in South Sudan, and she grabbed Sarah and Cecilia, and they fled to Egypt for their lives. And Simon and Abuk grabbed a coin wrapped in swaddling cloths, 40 days old, and fled to save their lives. And families are grabbing their kids and fleeing some parts of Central America right now. This is not news, and also it is news. So, Pastor Jennifer, please bring us a good word from the Lord today. Please tell us the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. You need good news this morning? Well, here it is. Jesus comes. When the kings rage and they demand their way, Jesus comes. When tyrants order violence among the innocent, Jesus comes. When terrified people grab their babies and run for their lives, Jesus comes. In little no-place towns with people of no power like Nazareth, Jesus comes. When we are stuck, when the powers of this world have us by the throat, when we feel pursued by sickness or poverty or loneliness or sexual violence, Jesus comes. When we are immobilized by our fear, Jesus comes. When we are divided and unable to create unity, Jesus comes. When we are exhausted by all of it, Jesus comes. When the Spirit draws us to the font, Jesus comes. And when we kneel at the railing, Jesus comes. And when we sing our praises, Jesus comes. And when we cannot sing for all our sadness catching in our throat, Jesus comes. When we gather in his name, Jesus comes. And when we have no one to gather with, Jesus comes. In the darkness, Jesus comes. From the grave, Jesus comes. You need the good news? Nothing can stop Jesus from coming. No place is too dark. There is no moment too frightening. There is no power too great, no tyrant too ruthless. There is no corner you are shivering in where Jesus will not and cannot and does not come. When you are sure it won't happen, Jesus comes. When you don't understand why, Jesus comes. When you aren't looking, Jesus comes. When you are absolutely looking, Jesus comes. And in and through and in spite of the worst of humanity, Jesus comes. Now, you Jesus followers, you tell me, when I am sad or scared or unsure or exhausted, when I feel pursued or violated, when I'm alone or coming undone because of the division in our own land, tell me, what is the good news?
Jesus.
Praise God.